Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
I am your reward, says the Lord. I myself am your reward. I make myself available to you. I reach out my heart to your heart. For I am here. I am going nowhere. I'm not hiding from you. I am seeking. I am knocking on your door. For I love you and my passion is for you, says the Lord. Oh, I love your praise, for that draws you to myself. And I will give you more than you could ever give me, because I love to give to you. I love to give to you, says the Lord.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
All right, let's take our teaching outlines. Let's get into the Word of God. There is a message for us today. We're in a series called Great Grace. And if you're joining us online, welcome. If you're in the cafe, awesome to have you. However you are connected in here in the auditorium, we are on a series about the grace of God, which includes His kindness, His forgiveness, the fact that there is no condemnation for us. If we have Christ in our lives, though we have sinned, God forgives us through of our sins, and that through Christ, who is full of grace and truth, He tells us the truth, but He washes us and forgives us. He's kind and He's gracious, and this is something that we need to be very strong in. Grace is probably one of the most important words in all of the Bible. And so we're taking our time to understand this, drill down into it, look at it from every possible angle. We are talking about great grace. Now, I would like to begin with a question today, and I think I know the answer, but how many of you would like to have more grace in your life? Everybody say more grace. Raise your hand. More grace. Grace can increase, and we're going to be talking about that. And today, I want to show you how grace can increase in your life. A couple more questions. How many of you would like conflicts to stop in your life? You like to get rid of all the conflicts and the hassles. How many of you would like to be closer to the Lord than you are right now? Show me your hand. Awesome. Well, the reason this message is important, this particular message is important, is because it's going to show us how to get to that place. There's a place in God where there isn't as many conflicts as you're having right now. There's a place in God where your marriage can flow, where your friendships and your ministry and your life can flow. That doesn't mean there won't be moments where you're tested or tried. I go through those and you'll go through those. But there's a way to increase the flow in your relationships and in your life and in your ministry. And when you go through battles and when you go through tests, it's really nice to have extra grace on your heart. It's really nice. If you're in a valley, if you're in trouble, at least if you can have a lot of grace in the midst of that battle and trouble, it makes it a whole lot better. And today, if you'll listen carefully and follow the Word of God and do what it says, I promise you that you're going to get to that place. Now, we're going to unpack some scriptures today in the area of grace through humility. Grace through humility, that's our subject. And I feel a little awkward. I always get a little anxious when I'm impressed of the Lord to speak on humility because I feel that I'm not an expert on it at all. In fact, I'm a proud man trying to find humility. Right? How many can relate to that? And we all have that little piece of our life that is proud. We all have that. And let's not pretend in this room, because I know you, it's my job to know you. No, let's not pretend that we don't have our pride. I have my pride, you have your pride, and it is a problem when it comes to grace increasing in our life. And so we talk about humility, and I say, Lord, please start with me. I'm not here to, you know, preach down or preach like I'm the expert on humility, but I am going to read the scripture, and we're all going to listen to what the Lord says. And I believe as we humble ourselves and really truly understand what that issue of humility looks like in our lives, God's going to increase grace. One thing I have learned, and this is the point of my message this morning, if you forget everything else I say, please remember this, that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Do you believe that's true? I can remember, and please, you know, God can humble me as fast as anything. I mean, people worry sometimes about pastors getting proud. Promise you, God knows how to humble us really, really fast when we need it. I've told a story before that it was a few years ago, and I was doing a lot of writing for Christian magazines, and I would write one article, then they'd say, write another one, then another magazine would say, hey, we like that article, can you write another article? And I was kind of getting busy writing articles. I guess maybe I was a little flattered, maybe I got a little prideful, I'm sure I did, And one day I came into the office and I saw a phone message from my assistant, and it said, Vision Magazine, they want you to call. And I thought, oh, well, looks like they want a slice of the can of Stracy pie. probably seen my article. I don't know. I was messed up. I don't know what I was thinking. I was just thinking, they probably want me to write it. That's all I could think of. You know, they probably want me to write an article. I guess I was a little full of myself. So I called, said, yes, this is David Canastracy. I received a message. Oh, yes, Dr. Canastracy, we're so glad. We are having a 2-for-1 subscription offer. And we would like to know if you would like to subscribe to our magazine. And I was like, well, that wasn't what I was expecting. But how many of you know sometimes you're get a little, you know, impressed with yourself, and you think you're all that, and you're actually not. Am I alone here in this morning? So we all have our pride, but God knows how to humble us. My point today is not to be overly humble or to act like I'm something or to point my fingers at it. It's just to come to the Scripture and say, Lord, what does this mean? And so I'm going to read a passage of Scripture to us. It's going to be up on the screen. And let me tell you, this is kind of a tough passage. But I want you to think of this as a really powerful drill bit that will kind of come down through the hard mantle of all of our hearts, right? And drill down all the way to where the oil of God's grace is, so that we can really tap in to a fresh grace that God has for us. I want to remind you that I did not write this verse. I'm only reading it to you. But let's see what God has to say, okay? James 4, our subject is grace through humility. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? We continue on. But he gives more, what? Grace. See, that's what we're after. That's why we're in this passage. He gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives what? Grace to the humble. There it is. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. I told you that's a tough passage. Those are strong words, right? Let's pray together. Father, we ask you for insight and wisdom to understand the clearly inspired word of God. I pray a spirit of revelation, not condemnation. I pray a spirit of life, not death, be upon us today. And Lord, we would walk out of this room today equipped in your word, understanding how to position ourselves, Lord, so that life can work better. Where we are being resisted, Lord, I pray you would shift it and change it, and that life would be restored to a flow and an ease, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I love that last little piece of that scripture. It says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. I looked that one up in the New Living Translation. I have a little bit older version of the New Living, and it says this. When you bow down before the Lord and admit your dependence on him, then he will lift you up and give you honor. When you bow down before the Lord and admit your dependence on him, he will lift you up and give you honor. Today, in the subject of grace through humility, I want to begin with this first piece: God resists the proud. That's the hard part. That's the drill. All right? But it's going to take us to a good place. God resists the proud. James is not so subtly identifying a crazy cycle that takes place in our world. In the world of confused morals and a world of confused values, he sees us through the eyes of God, struggling, wrestling, not getting our prayers answered. He sees us contending. He sees us fighting. He sees basically a picture of life that is not working. We're not getting what we want. Our prayers aren't being answered. We've got conflict in our world. And he's saying this is a crazy cycle. One thing is leading to another thing, which is leading to another thing, which empowers the first thing, which comes back around. And pretty soon, nothing is working in our world. What is the core of this crazy cycle that God must resist? The core is pride. God resists the proud. Now, how does pride show up, and what are the components of this in our world? Well, first, it's conflicting selfish desires. You know, we are in a world where everybody's fighting for their thing, and none of it is aligned with God's thing. We're just pushing and shoving, and that can happen in a marriage. It can happen in a church. It can happen in a work environment. It can happen with a family where people are just wrestling and they're trying to make their point and they're trying to be heard. And the harder you try to make your point and the more you try to get your way, the more things lock down. And it empowers other strongholds in your world when you're selfish and when you flow that way. God says that crazy cycle's got to be broken. I was reading a... I was reading recently about two ships that collided in the Baltic Sea. These were two Russian ships. It's a true story. It was like in 1986, the summer of 1986, and it was at night. It was just off that dark, cold sea. And they collided, and over 200 people lost their lives in that oceanic collision. And they started to investigate what in the world had happened. Was it the radar? Did they not see each other? No, the radar was fine. Well, was it weather? Maybe the fog was just so thick that this needless accident, this terrible disaster. Why would these ships collide? What in the world could have gone wrong? And what they found out was that it came down to the stubbornness of the two captains. The equipment was working fine. Everything, they should have veered off of each other's course, but somehow because of their pride and what was in their heart, this unwillingness to yield to anybody else, that by the time this game of chicken was becoming serious, they couldn't hit the brakes. And people lost their lives. And I think about how often that's the way it is in the world. You know, we don't want to yield to each other. We don't want to flow. Everybody's pushing for their agenda. And the Lord looks down from heaven and he says, you're fighting. Where does this all come from? And nobody's even getting what they need, and nobody's getting what they want. And it's not leading to life, and it's not leading to a better marriage. You can fight and fight and fight, and you're not going to have a better ministry. You're not going to have a better family life if you just push and shove and represent yourself only. There's a different way. That's not the way of grace. There's a different way. for things to work in our life. I think it's important for us to remember, and maybe you want to jot this down. If you are having a world of external conflict, if you are in fights and you can't understand why is my family fighting and why is this group fighting and what's going on here at work? Well, when we see external conflict, we have to do an internal sanity check. Because it doesn't boil down to ships and radar and weather conditions. It boils down to what's in a person's heart at a moment when they have a chance to yield and they refuse to do it. And they take other people with them. You see, external conflicts stem from internal issues and problems in our life. And this is why God is using strong language in this passage. He's trying to wake us up. He wants the hammer of his word to shock us and get our attention. And by the way, he's got my attention in this passage. These are strong words, man. Adulterers, adulteresses. I mean, it's like, wow. Leap, weep and mourn and lament. And it's like, Lord, do you want me to weep instead of being? I thought you came to make me happy. But the Lord is saying, listen, when you're happy with yourself, your fighting self, your ugly self, your prideful self, when you're happy with that, it's time to tear your garment. It's time to humble yourself and change the way you're doing it. So conflicting selfish desires. And then there's relational battles that he's talking about in verses 1 and 2. You know, imagine people in the first century church scuffling with each other. I don't know, what were they arguing about? Rich versus poor, black versus white, Jew versus Gentile. We know that the church was born out of Judaism, and we know from even the simplest reading of Scripture that the Jewish people, by God's opinion, were a cantankerous and fighty and sparry and bitey kind of people. They were always at each other, biting and devouring and complaining and murmuring. God is saying, whoa, stop the madness! The fighting, the struggles, that's not producing life. That's not my Holy Spirit. You see? And James, who was literally the half-brother, the brother of Jesus Christ, he grew up with Christ. The author of James, right? He sounds like Jesus. He sounds strong like Jesus, saying, woe to you. And it's because people are caught in a friendship with the world, the world's way of doing it. The world says you got to be tough. You got to fight for your rights. You got to push, you got to kick, you got to shove. And if somebody gets in your way, cut them off. And you can use a Bible to do that. You can use a verse. You can, you know, and James, the brother of the Lord, is saying that this is, when you adopt that position, you are literally at odds. You have put yourself as an enemy of God, because that isn't the way of grace. That isn't the way of God. Kicking and biting and shoving and undermining and fighting for it. There's a different way. There's a better way. I'll say this, when it comes to relational battles, it's not spiritual. And I think a lot of us are learning and have learned in life that, maybe you want to jot this down too, that relationships break down when we're proud. Are you in a relational breakup? Is there somebody in your life that it's just like the distance is increasing? I want to say that your only hope is humility. The Bible says only by pride comes a fight. Only by pride comes contention and fighting. And so when you feel that tension, you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, we've got to be intuitively, we have to intuit within ourselves, something is happening in my marriage and I need to hit the floor. I don't need to like rise up and demand my rights. You do that in certain relationships and you're going to find, you're going to increase the distance. Let me tell you something. Whatever you honor is going to walk towards you. Whatever you dishonor, whatever you resist, whatever you punk is going to walk away from you. That's a law. And so as you humble yourself toward, what is it? Is it your children? Is it your friend? Is it Where is that relationship that's getting off the rails? If you will humble yourself and do it God's way, you'll see that grace will begin to work and God will restore that relationship. This is powerful stuff. And the last piece about God resisting the proud is a sign of asking and not receiving. You know, unanswered prayer, asking but not receiving. He says you're asking and asking, but nothing's happening. Your prayers are hitting the ceiling. Well, why wouldn't my prayers work? Lord, I'm praying in the name of Jesus. I'm praying on the word of God. And God says, no, that's not enough. You can pray in the name of Jesus. You can pray a scripture. But if your heart isn't right, if your heart is for yourself instead of somebody else, if it's for your plan instead of for God's plan, God says it just hits the ceiling. You're asking amiss. Your prayer is missing the mark. Oh, I don't want my prayers to miss the mark. What's the answer? The answer is to humble myself and understand the will of God. Let's be honest. Unanswered prayer may signal a need for a change of heart. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, every Christian, as soon as they pray, you know, instantaneously, God is answering their prayer and it just pops like that in my life. I mean, there are unanswered prayers in my life. But if you're here to say to me, Pastor David, look, God is not answering any of my prayers. My prayer life isn't working. In fact, I'm not even really praying. I'm not really talking to God because I gave up on that. This is so frustrating. Everything is frozen. Nothing is moving. We look at James and he says, the issue of unanswered prayer is sometimes an issue of our heart attitude. God resists certain attitudes. Pride is one of them. And so, again, the answer is humility, which releases grace. So the bottom line is God is resisting the proud. We end up in a lifestyle and we say, nothing is working here. This is not, my marriage isn't working, my career isn't working, my faith isn't working, my ministry isn't working. I'm stuck. What am I doing? And the drill is going down, 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 down through our strong mantle of independence and our way. You say, Pastor David, I'm a sweetheart. I don't fight people. I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover. But if you think about fighting, what is fighting? Fighting is using your strength to push somebody else down. Fighting is using your power, your whatever weapon you've got. Oh, my wife and I don't fight. Oh, really? Oh, really? You don't use the strength of your personality to push for what you want. So just because you're not taking a swing at somebody, because you all look so polite and sweet to me, and I know you would never do that. My cousin's a lawyer. She specializes in church law, and I don't know if she's here today, but she's been at board meetings where the police had to be called, church board meetings. Where they were duking it out in the parking lot. Thank God we don't have that going on in this church. But it's that humility that heals our relationships. It's pride that drives us apart. And so we've got to stop the fighting. So what's the good news? How do we move past, you know, being an enemy of God? Let me just share with you some really good stuff about how God gives grace to the humble. And this is what James is saying, verse 6. But he gives more grace. Wherefore, he says to you, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humility is not what you might think. It's not hating yourself. It's not downplaying your strengths. Oh, you look very nice today. Oh, no, 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 I'm very ugly. No. That was a delicious sandwich. Oh, no, I'm no good at anything. That's not humility. That's actually false pride. Humility is simply a correct assessment of yourself in light of how big God is. I don't know if you guys saw the Roots series back in the '80s, late '80s. Remember Roots, that mini-series about the slaves that were brought over from Africa? And though the author of that book, that was a great book, and it turned into a movie series, his name is Alex Haley. And famously, Alex Haley has a picture on the wall in his office, and the picture on the wall in his office is of a turtle up on a fence post. And people ask him, Alex Haley, why do you have a picture of a turtle up on the top of a fence post? And he says, to remind me that if a turtle got on the top of a fence post, he had some help. He didn't do it by himself. To me, that's a great definition of humility. If God has put you somewhere and you say, I don't understand how I got here, it's because God put you there. Instead of living like, hey, I'm all of that in a bag of chips. I got all this going on, man. I'm telling you, I'm somebody because I'm clever and I'm smart and watch out, world. I'm going, here I come. Ladies, watch out. You know, it's like, that's what God says. Oh my goodness. And it's funny, that's in caricature. That attitude really does touch every one of our lives, if we're honest. We can be proud of what a good father, proud of a good mother, proud of what a good Christian, proud of a good leader. We can think, but the bottom line is, if there's good things happening in your life, you didn't get there on your own. God put you there. And so the humble man says, instead of saying, man, my world isn't working because everybody's against me and all this stuff is happening, that shouldn't be our testimony. Our testimony should be, as Christians, I can't believe that I'm on top of this fence post. I can't believe what God has done. I never deserved this. I never merited this. God is so good. Come on, everybody. Is God good? Right? And so humility, that's it. James said, when you finally bow before the Lord, there you are, Sharon Rose, I see you. When you finally bow before the Lord and admit your dependence on Him, then He will lift you up. Lord, I can't get to the top of a fence. I can work, but only You can bless my business. I can pray, but only You can answer. I can share my faith, but only You can touch a soul. I can believe You for healing, but Lord, only You could heal me. See, and when we come to that humble dependence on God, that's when grace is ready to revolutionize our lives. So what does that look like? Let me give you four things that James points out. Just quickly, you want to jot these down if you want to. You might need this tomorrow. Hey, everything's going great for you today. Write this down. You might need this tomorrow. Number one, submit to God. Submit to God. Now, what does it mean to submit to God? It just means to take your place in His order. Stand where He told you to stand. Have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Or are you still your own general? Who's making the decisions in your life? Who sets the plan? Who sets the pace? Is it Jesus? Or is it you? Who's really got the wheel? See, submit to God just means turn it over to the Lord. Let God lead you. Let God be God. Make Jesus Lord of your life. And then you move to the second piece. Resist the devil. First, submit to God, then resist the devil. Now, the devil will not respect you resisting him unless you are submitted to God. If you are not submitted to God, you are open season. Not only is your prayer not going to work, but you're going to have a giant target on your life. And there's nothing that can help you because you're stubborn and willful and you're saying, no, I will not release control of my life to God. I will maintain control. Thank you very much. This is my life. Well, you can't resist the devil. When he comes after your kid or he comes after your mind, well, you're standing on the complete wrong ground. You got no basis to resist it. But once you submit to God and finally acknowledge your dependence on Him, then you're able to dig your feet in and resist the enemy. And the Bible says this, when you so much as resist him, he will flee. Now, I'm talking to you about a better kind of life that you can have. A life where the enemy is fleeing from you, not eating your lunch and pop in your paper bag. A life that is working. When you get on your knees and resist sickness, it goes. You get on your knees and resist fear, and it goes. And you get on your knees and you pray for your family, and things start to change. This is the life. Isn't this the life we want? Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. And then, well, I'll just read a couple of scriptures here. 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9. Be alert. Be on the watch. Your enemy, the devil, roams. He's a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. Believe me, he wants your... You have no idea what the enemy wants to do to take you out. Wake up. Realize your family. Realize what you could lose. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. And understand, listen, understand who the enemy is. Your boss is not your enemy. Your wife is not your problem. Your pastor is not your problem. I didn't do this to you. Understand that there's an enemy trying to work, right? And resist him, and he will flee. Understand who the real enemy is in this season. Number three, draw near to God. Everybody say, draw me, Lord. Talking about a life that works better, a life that is filled with grace. Draw near to God. How's your prayer life? When was the last time you really got honest with God? When was the last time you just made a decision, I'm going to be closer to the Lord? I don't need to be closer to sports. I don't need to be closer to movie stars. I need to be closer to the Lord. This is what I need in my life. I'm far from him. I need to move my life closer to him. Here's what the beautiful promise is. If you draw near to God, he will draw what? God won't run from you. He's waiting for you. You say, well, I only have a few minutes a day. Draw near to God and watch how God comes closer to you. Remember, whoever you honor moves towards you. Whoever you dishonor walks away. And when you begin to honor God, he starts entering into your world. And you start knowing him and serving him and loving him. And suddenly life is moving. It's working because grace is present. You know how much grace we would have without the Lord? Zero. You want grace, you need God. You want favor, you need God. Draw near to him. Hebrews 4 says we can draw near the throne of judgment. Is that what it says? Throne of condemnation. God's going to throw it in your face. What kind of a Christian are you? How dare you pray to me? Is that what he says? It's a throne of grace. Praise the Lord. Anybody here need grace? Anybody here messed up this month? Anybody here messed up this week? How many messed up already today? You've already messed up. You need the throne of grace. You weren't trying to. It's just in us. We just mess up. And that's why, thank God for his grace. Let's draw near. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to get close to God. Come on. You know what I saw earlier in the service? This is what I saw. I just closed my eyes and we were worshiping that beautiful song service we had. And I saw Christians, dozens of Christians, around a beautiful bonfire on a beach. It was cold. It was dark. No street lights, no light anywhere. It was at night, and that fire was burning, crackling. And here all around that fire was believers just singing, just worshiping, just filled with joy, filled with faith, loving each other. And people would come, yeah, join us, come on. It's good, come on in. And the circle just kept getting bigger and bigger. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, in these last days, it's going to be cold and dark. And you better know where the fire is. You better know where the light and the fellowship. And for me, I'm choosing to do my life not alone, as Pastor Gary said. I'm choosing to do it together with you. I'm choosing to do it together with other pastors, any of them that'll have me. Hallelujah. I wouldn't join a pastor's fellowship that would have me. But anyway, that's a bad joke. Are you at the fire? Are you coming close to fellowship? Are you coming close to other believers? That's where the light is. That's where the heat is. Draw near to God. And the last piece of this is adjust yourself. He says, cleanse your hands. Purify your heart. Oh, but Lord, I want you to purify my husband's heart. I want his hands to change. God says, nah, adjust yourself. No, but if my kid starts to do what I, then everything's going to be fine. Nah, nope. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of grace. Hallelujah. And, you know, it's so easy to notice somebody else's wart. Somebody else's problem. But really, the Lord is saying, hey, when you draw near to God, God is going to be talking to you about your wife or your boss or your friend. It's wash your hands. Cleanse your heart. Readjust yourself. Get off the high horse. Get down low. And admit, man, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I had a piece of that. Maybe I did the wrong thing. God, forgive me. And we finally come to the place like this. I can't believe it. I finally realized it. I can't do anything without God. I can't make a living. I can't be a father. I can go to work. But only God can bless me. And if my life isn't working, my ministry isn't working, my prayers aren't being answered, I got to change my position. I got to finally acknowledge that only God could do this. And when we get to that place, that's where grace is released. He gives grace to the humble. Not to the perfect, but to the humble. I want the worship team to come. I think about the verses in the scripture that say, I am God and I dwell in a high and holy place and I give help to the humble. He says, this is what I've told you, O man, to do. This is my will for you, to walk humbly. And I say, Lord, it's not complicated, but somehow I've become your enemy. I didn't mean to, Lord. Lord, I love you. I thought that was the right way. The Lord says, no, that's the way the world does it. And you can't love the world and the way they teach you to do things while you're loving me. You got to love my way. You got to love the grace way. You got to love the humble way. And when you do humble yourself, it really does start to work. I want us to sing for a few minutes and just make like it was just you and Jesus for a few minutes here. It wouldn't be inappropriate at all. If you were able, if you wanted to, you could get on your knees and hey, nobody's going to stop you from getting on your knees in the house of God. When we finally bow down, when we finally bow our hearts, something is released. That something is called grace. Let's sing together, can we? Lord Jesus. Now, Father, we barely know how to spell humble. We're so often, and religious pride's one of the worst ones. We think we're better because of our faith. Because of our position. It's an infection, Lord, that only you could cure in us, and we ask you to do that, Lord. We don't take your word lightly. We want grace, Lord. Help us, Lord, to live in a more humble way, in a way that is more like Christ and works better. Forgive us of our fights. Lord, hear our prayers and heal our marriages. Heal our families, Lord. Let things begin to move again, Lord, in a good way. knowing that grace will fill us. Lord, we receive the righteousness of Christ. You're not asking us to be perfect like we've never could sin. That's impossible. But Lord, we do humble ourselves and depend on you. And I pray for those in this room that just, it's not working at work. It's not working with money. It's not working at home. And I pray that you would break the crazy cycles, Lord. Get us unstuck, Lord. Get us moving in miracles and get us moving in peace and moving in faith and moving in blessing, Lord. Get us moving in growth and multiplication of all that we touch, Lord, until we could say, only God could be doing this. Only God could get me up on the top of this fence post. Lord, that Jesus would receive the glory and the honor, Lord. We don't want it anymore. We ask, Lord, that you would heal and deliver and make us like Christ, we pray. And we draw on his righteousness and what he did on the cross for us. We receive your love and your grace, Lord. Hallelujah. Now just look right at me. You're sitting now, or maybe you've been kneeling. It takes like a prophetic act to kneel or to bow your head or to humble your heart. The same legs that bent to get you down also work the other way. They help you stand up and face the world. They help you stand in faith. And they help you resist the enemy. So just as we come to the close here, we're going to say a prayer in just a minute. But I could say stand to your feet. But I would rather say, let's stand in faith now. Let's stand in the righteousness of Christ. Because if you're in Christ, you're forgiven. Doesn't matter what you've done or how bad you've messed up your world or how it isn't working. If you'll stand in faith on his righteousness, you watch grace begin to come into your life. So would you join me? Let's stand together. And this is exactly how you're going to walk out of this room today. You're going to walk out with your head held high. You're going to walk out with faith in your heart that your life is going to begin to work again. And that you're nobody's junk. You're somebody's child. Hallelujah. And that there is no condemnation for you. And you may have failed 1,000 times, but as far as the east is from the west, God has removed your sins from you, and you are a new creation in Christ, and old things have passed away, and all things can become new. I want to invite you just to say a prayer. I want my friends on the ministry team just to come, the prayer team, altar team, would you just come at this time? And I'd like to invite everyone here to say this prayer with me. Let's pray out loud. Father God, thank you for the grace that covers me in Christ. Lately, I have been so full of pride. Come on, let's pray. I want the conflicts to stop. I need you to hear my prayers. Lord Jesus, I ask you for great grace in this season. Cleanse my hands. Purify my heart with your love and grace. In your name, amen. Now give Jesus Christ a great and awesome. Thank you, Lord. Only you can cleanse us. And I declare over you, I declare a fresh season of answered prayer. I declare over you the healing of your relationships. I declare over you fruitfulness and multiplication and blessing as you humble yourself. God will lift you up. Let's go for it now. Let's walk in humility and in faith. Let's believe for God to do good things. I love every one of you. God bless you. You are dismissed. If you need prayer, your friends are here waiting for you. Come. God bless you. I love you. You're dismissed.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.